Can you briefly introduce yourself and your current role?
Yes, my name is Maria Reinikainen, and I currently work as a senior specialist in prison and probation service in Finland.
Okay. How does your work connect to the field of detention or criminal justice, especially concerning women?
Currently, my role as a senior specialist is in the national development of our service. Previously, I worked as a project manager in a national project. This was 2021 to 2023, the project, and it was regarding female prisoners and their safety, security, addressing discrimination, staff education, meaning our staff, and improving women-specific services. And then after the project ended, since 2024, my role has been trying to ensure the development and implementation that we accomplished in the project, that it would be implemented properly in our prisons and probation, in the operational work.
All right. Okay.
And actually, just to add, throughout my whole career, I have in different roles worked with women offenders. So from client work to other roles. So they are. I'm quite familiar with this group.
Okay. From your perspective, what are the main challenges that incarcerated women face within the current system?
From our services point of view, I would say that clearly we have, for the women in prison, we have inadequate access to mental health and substance misuse care. Mm-hmm. That would meet their needs, also I would assess that we still face some discrimination due to maybe misunderstanding these women in a way that there can be an attitude bias, thinking that they are, so to speak, difficult to handle or difficult in their behavior and responses, when we know that actually it is about their needs, because they have the trauma background often, and we need to implement trauma-informed and more sensitive methods in our interaction with them. So I would say maybe these two challenges.
Yes. Okay. Do you see differences in how men's and women's needs are addressed in detention? And if there are differences, what are they?
In prison and probation service, we attempt to educate our staff about trauma-informed practice, especially that staff that is working with women. So the gap in the treatment or how their needs are addressed shouldn't be as big as it used to be. So today I would say that things have improved, but of course, more could be done, especially with our current challenges with staff shortage and staff turnover. But luckily, I would say that after this project that we had nationally, we have good models in place for new staff, for example, to be educated about these women's needs. And to better realize these women's specific needs in prison environment.
Okay. Are there gaps in current policy that you believe should be addressed to better support incarcerated women?
Of course, there are many quite complex questions that should be addressed in different levels from policy to practice. Overall, my impression is that we still need measures in general against discrimination of women in society in general, in our country, and also against the stigma that comes with incarceration. So this would be like, I think, the policy level, like large scale questions. Finland is, for example, within Istanbul Convention, and we have had quite a bit of national work within that framework in recent years that has been done to better cope with or have a some kind of resolution to violence against women or address that. But as we know, these women in prisons, there is this victim-offender overlap in this group of women. So there is still, from my perspective, there is lots of work to be done. Even in policy level, I think one step could be more obligatory measures in legislation to provide adequate help and services for these women, and access to, for example, better mental health services during incarceration. Overall, I think we need more cooperation and multi-agency work, regardless of what authority or what sector is involved in these women's lives. But we have a lot to still develop or accomplish in our work with other services or other actors.
We have these silos.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. What existing policies or practices have proven effective in improving the well-being of incarcerated women?
In general, I think restorative justice approaches have been quite good, and I think also, like, from an academic or scientific point of view, they have proven to be quite good. And you know about the trauma-informed approaches, and we have implemented those in our prisons and staff education as well. But then in regard to individual practice with these women, we have been trying to address like more systematically the violent behavior or the victimization in intimate partner violence, teaching these women problem solving and emotions management skills. Many of them are in need of sexual behavior guidance and personal boundary skills, neuropsychiatric diagnoses and help. They're very underdiagnosed with this kind of challenges. Of course, most women need help with their relationships and what does a healthy relationship look like. with your spouse or partner. And then, of course, motherhood support is very important for incarcerated women. But those are some that come to mind.
Yes. Okay. How are issues such as trauma, family connections, and reintegration currently reflected in policy?
If we talk about prison and probation service, it is these things are in our strategic emphasis and radar, so to speak. And because they come with our goals of reintegration into society and tackling or minimizing the risk of reoffending and all the work that goes with those. And I think these include family and trauma matters as well. But I think in the overall national policy, unfortunately, this might be a personal feeling how things have developed in the past couple of years, but I find that in times of economic hardships and lack of resources and unfortunately well-being of prisoners is not a top priority in the national government level. But of course we have for example, what is THL? So under the Ministry of Social and Health Affairs, we have, for example, this network, national network, NAPE, that is still working nationally with for example, measures preventing violence against women and everything that goes with it, and this also affects incarcerated women. So we have some policies that are long-lasting, but of course, from my perspective, we could do more and we could give more focus to this topic in the national policy.
Yes. Okay. Are there examples of promising approaches that should be scaled up or adapted more widely? They can be national or international.
When we started the project, we started with the international guidelines, so to speak. So, but you probably are very aware of the UN Bangkok rules and what they say about the treatment of female prisoners and what does the European Committee for the Prevention of Torture say in their documents for women in prison. But those were some of the backbones when we started to develop our system into more humane and more suitable for women prisoners. I would say, as I said already before, that the restorative justice and trauma-informed practice, if we had those two in place everywhere and every staff member would know and remember these two, we would go a long way. So. But I know that if you were asking internationally, for example, in Britain, in England and Wales, I think they have done since 2015, if I remember correctly, they have done quite a bit of work within their prison system, for example, to include women and better take them into consideration. So. You might find some interesting interesting practices or policies there that they have implemented.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you view the role of a small-scale community-integrated detention houses compared to traditional large-scale prisons?
This is quite a tricky question to answer, because in Finland we don't have this kind of system that we would have community detention houses. We have a prison system that includes closed prisons and then open prisons, which are more open to the community, or prisoners can leave and for example work or have rehabilitation outside the prison and then just return for the night. When I think about the possibility of these detention houses, from our services point of view, I have to go back to our assessment of each prisoner, and this means risk and needs assessment. And of course, we know that the female prisoners are a quite diverse group of individuals, and they have very different risks and needs. And in prison and probation service, we have realized that open conditions are not good for everyone in every stage of their sentence, because some internal thinking, attitudes and thinking, behavioral change needs to happen if you want to get out of your criminal behavior or substance use behavior. I think overall more open conditions during the sentence can be very helpful for some, but it's maybe not adequate for everybody. And I think if we would have more open conditions and these kind of detention houses, we would need to make sure that we have enough support and staff there to meet the challenges and to help and of course reintegration into society. Also, it's not easy to do by yourself, so this would require, I think, a certain amount of qualified and very trained staff to be successful. But since we know that we have within the female prison population, we have very different types of women, so in prison and probation service we always need to consider also like the possible threat to society that a prisoner may cause if they are living in too open conditions inside the community, and we need to assess whether it is likely that they continue their criminal behavior during the sentence. So these are just some of the things that we have to take into consideration when we assess which would be the best placement for a certain female prisoner. But I think the reintegration into society, from that point of view, it would be very beneficial to have those kind of detention houses and be close to the community if you have enough support for the difficult moments that may come when you live there, and different temptations and different problems, and somebody there to teach you also how to live normatively and so that you don't harm others or do anything illegal and things like this. Because in the community, of course, for example, the former peers that may have included you in their criminal behavior or substance misuse, they are much closer than in a remote prison. So it is not very black or white question. It is there are different individual needs and risks, and you would need to, I think, carefully assess who and in which stage of the sentence this kind of detention house would be the right place to be.
Okay, the next one may be a little bit overlapping already, but it doesn't matter. What opportunities and challenges do you see in implementing such facilities?
Okay, I probably answered this already, but yeah. I think it is very important that in a controlled environment, so to speak, that where you have either peer support or professional staff support or both, you have long enough time to practice the community life after prison. So I think this would be a great benefit in this kind of arrangement. But as I said, that there can be dangers also, and for some. It might not be the best place to be if they are not ready to change their lives or there are too many factors in their life that interrupt the recovery or rehabilitation process. So.
Yes. Yeah. What do you think, what policy changes would be needed to make these alternatives more viable and sustainable?
This is also a quite different or difficult question, because in our country we don't have this kind of system. So, but if I try to think about the detention houses as, would they be a part of a prison sentence, or would they be maybe a community sanction? This would be like a definition that we would have to make in the legislation, that where in the severity of sentences this type of thing would fit the best. We would need maybe reimagining imprisonment a little bit if we had this kind of system, and maybe increase the use of community sanctions. This could be maybe a more severe community sanction if it wasn't at the end of the prison sentence coming back to the community. Yeah, it is very difficult to answer because we don't have this kind of system. But I see that if politically there would be a will to have this kind type of system, then it could quite easily be a part of either the prison sentence or the community sanctions. But it would need to be maybe assessed quite broadly for whom, for which type of crimes, at which stage of the sentence, these type of things.
Okay. Then, what kind of support or resources would policymakers, prison administration, or NGOs need in order to better address the needs of incarcerated women?
Well, first of all, I think that this is a matter that should be made some kind of a priority if we expect to see some real change and real progress. But as I said before, I think if we could make multi-agency work like more systematic and easier to cross those boundaries between different services and actors. That would be a big thing. We need education still. I think even to the policy level people, maybe them even more than the practitioner level, I don't know. And also supportive legislation and policy to back these kind of measures. Maybe some visibility in media wouldn't hurt. and I would welcome more these kind of public stories of those women who have been able to transform their lives, and I think those kind of real life examples could be quite influential, even for the policy level, and also thinking about the public opinion or attitude or things like this.
So, what is your vision for the future of detention systems with regard to women?
If I could have my wish, I would wish for more more trauma-informed and suitable staff to work with these people. And more accessible social and healthcare and family services, and more possibilities to individually meet the specific needs of each of these women.
If you could make one concrete policy change tomorrow, what would it be?
I don't know if it is because I have worked in prisons and probation for a long time, but I would have to say that we need prevention measures. Early prevention, because prisons are the last resort, so to speak, where people end up when many, many things in their lives have, over many years, usually gone quite wrong, and they haven't often gotten the help in that moment that they would have needed some type of help from the society. So, in policy level, I would put much like I would prioritize the prevention. So we would need less prisons or detention houses or things like this, and we would have healthier and happier women. Yeah.
Okay, one final question. Is there anything else you would like to add that we haven't covered yet?
I think we have got covered quite a bit, and this is a very interesting proposal, these detention houses, and I see potential in this type of idea. So I'm looking forward to hearing how this project, what you accomplish and how things progress.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Mario, very much for this interview.
Thank you for having me.